It's the Real BS Show on another crummy day. Crummy weather.
That's true.
And one of these days, the sun's going to come out and warm everything up.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be coming out, and we'll be nice and warm. It'll be summertime.
And then we'll be whining, it's too hot. Oh, shoot. Yeah, I mean, when it's snowing and cold and everything, you just can't do anything.
No. No.
You just sit there and look out the window and
same
watch the birds. And
same with the wind. You know, when the wind's out there, they're really bad. That's just rough.
I thought I was going to blow my house over the other day.
Oh, yeah.
I was laying in bed, and I'm thinking, holy smoke. Every now and then, a blast of wind.
It was 70 miles per hour wind.
It jiggled the whole house, because my house just sits on cement pads, so
right.
It's not fastened down at all.
Right.
And it's not very big, so.
You'd be like Dorothy, right?
Either that or it just tip me over and I'll be sleeping on a wall.
Yeah. Bill be lost in the Wizard of Oz, you know, Ozland, whatever they call it.
Of course, it would tip my fireplace over, too.
That's true.
That's not good.
That's very dangerous.
Yeah.
You'd be really warm then.
Yeah, it's just ugly. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's just my old age or something, but this cold weather just got me down.
Yeah.
Whew.
And then also we have the change of hours. That really is rough, you know. You lose an hour, and then the whole day shifted, and that makes it difficult, you know. It's more daylight at the end, though, you know.
Daylight at the end, and
yeah.
Just sleep in a little longer.
Yeah, right. Oh, it says it's 10 o'clock. It really means it's 11.
I don't know.
Yeah, we got
some nice, gentle music.
Yeah,
today.
We got some gentle music with a topic about the mafia. You know,
the mafia?
Yeah, we could talk about the mafia. I think they're all dead now, so we can talk about them, right?
Yeah, don't give away our addresses or anything.
No, we're in a secret location. You, you are the reason we're here. I mean, just remember that, you know. Yeah. So.
Is that propaganda on the wall there?
Yeah.
Our new office or
yeah,
our new.
We're upstairs now. That means we're in a secret location upstairs, no longer in the bunker.
Well, that's some pro propaganda on the wall there.
Just,
when you enter this office, you are strong, kind, safe, brave, loved, understood, super wonderful. Special, respected, smart, important, tough, amazing. You are the reason we are here.
But you are tough,
what
Bill.
What kind of... You need hip boots to walk in here.
Yeah.
Keep the crap off your...
I have a philosophy that if everybody's special, then nobody's special.
Well, I don't know. This is... that's I don't know what that there... that's on the wall for. Who's that going to...
You know, there's a comedian that talks about... You know, your kid, everyone thinks their kid's special and the most intelligent, beautiful kid there is. But the reality is your kid's a jerk, and it's your job to raise them not to be a jerk. There you go.
Yeah. For some folks, that's not very easy.
No, it's not easy. I mean, don't get me wrong. You love your kid, but at the same time, you have to recognize you're turning them into an adult. So you kind of have to hone them like some iron ingot. You have to form them. To a sword, you know, or a shield.
Well, the toughest kids to raise are boys.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, girls, you know, they go to school and they sit and behave, and boys, they just want to run around, you know. And if you just kind of raise them in that way, you know, like, yeah, sure, if girls sometimes want to run around too and don't want to sit, but you got to sometimes work how they work and kind of, and that might be their career. Like, let's say a kid doesn't want to be in a college, you know, go to college, they want to be in the trades. Maybe them running around is actually a good thing. It's that prepares them for the trades, you know. They're more hands-on, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's getting into the weeds, though.
Yeah, that's deeper than I want to go. Yeah. So what do you got? You got some John Denver?
I got John Denver and Jim...
Croce?
Yeah, Croce, thank you. That's an Italian name, I think. We're getting into the mobs here. You got John Denver from the West Virginia, you know. They have mobs there, you know.
That's a poor part of town there.
Yeah, right, you don't. Virginia. There's some hollers you don't go up.
You see those coal miners and stuff. Boy,
yeah,
boy.
rough world, huh?
What a job! Holy smokes!
That's an unforgiving job, you know. Ignoring the fact of coal, the politics behind it, just the job alone. And even though it's safer nowadays, it's still dangerous.
Well, Pennsylvania's got coal mines all over the place underneath
some of them Central. Burning.
Well, one of them's burning as Centralia.
Centralia, they accidental.
They booted everybody out.
It's a tourist destination. You can go there and walk on the roads and feel the heat.
Yeah.
It's burning. They say it's going to burn for like 2,000 years or something like that. I don't know.
But all these coal mines underneath all these, there's a lot of towns and small cities that are, they just all of a sudden they have a cave in, you know, and it's because of all the mining that's underneath and all the supports and stuff under there are getting rotten and caving in and thousands of miles of that stuff. Pennsylvania's loaded with coal mines. I mean, they just. Forever and ever, and it's all the central and the northeastern parts of the state are just there, and they don't have any record of where they at, where they're at, and because they didn't keep records back.
No, they didn't need to, you know.
So it's there's a lot of it, a lot of it. There's some in West Virginia and places like that they don't know about, but.
There's also the salt mines. To me, it's fascinating. They're now using the salt mines, like the abandoned salt mines, for other things, like storing different perishables because it's so dry and good environment to store different things long term. And I didn't know there was one that's like under the Great Lakes. You know,
yeah, it's
like
Chicago over there.
Yeah, it's like crazy. Like you know, you find this stuff out, and it's like this huge, massive cave system that's we dug out, and no one ever talks about it. You know, or how the fact that there was copper in Michigan and Native Americans were making copper weapons. You know, like 10,000 years ago.
Well, you take copper and tin, and that makes brass.
Right.
Or bronze, I guess.
Yeah, bronze, yeah.
But it makes better arrows.
Yeah, it's just fascinating that kind of history. Like, there's all this history that no one talks about. Everyone thinks, history started when Europeans came here, but there's a lot going on before that, you know. But the copper thing is really fascinating because it was done before the Europeans did copper. So that's, you know... crazy in itself, but they were trading it all over for it was found all the way, you know, copper from Michigan was found all the way in like Texas and stuff. So I don't know, that's getting into the weeds too. You know, I picked some of these songs, we went through some of them. You know, some artists just don't get the attention they deserve, and some get songs that are really famous, and we try to sometimes not pick the famous songs that are good that should be appreciated more. And I think these two artists have some songs that I don't know. They should have been maybe well known or something. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. I have no idea. I just like to listen to my own music and play whatever's fun to play.
You right.
know? Interesting. More than just two chords, you know.
Yeah. This, you know, Jim here, I think he's a good artist that is more than two chords. And he's a good writer.
I never listened to him that much. I don't know much
Neither
about
did
him.
I kind of, you know, I did a little bit here and there, but like, you know, you hear the hits and that's it and think that's the artist, but there's a lot more to him, you know. So.
Story of life.
he died at 30. That's in a plane crash. I thought he was a lot older than that.
That's the price of being famous, you know. You got to fly around a lot.
Yeah. Or ride a bus and die that way, too, you know. I don't know. So.
All right. Well, what do you got first?
New York's Not something. My Home. New York's Not My Home. That's the song. I thought that'd be
Never
fitting.
Never heard of it.
It's a fitting song, I think, because New York's not our home. And he's referring to the city. So why not start with that? Because New York City's not our home, Bill. Right?
Well, I lived there for about 6 months and played up there. And what a dump.
Yeah.
Just a mass of humanity. Just unbelievable.
Just wait for it to be that way again shortly. It's been getting there. It's been that way for a while.
This whole country's falling apart.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll get to it then.
Okay.
were spinning round me, and all my thoughts were cloudy, and I had begun to doubt all the things that were me. Been in so many places, you know I've run so many races, and looked into the empty faces of the people of the night. And something is just not right, 'cause I know that I gotta get out of here. I'm so alone. Don't you know that I gotta get out of here, 'cause New York's not my home. Though all the streets are crowded, there's something strange about it. I lived there about a year and I never once felt at home. I thought I'd make the big time. I learned a lot of lessons awful quick, and now I'm telling you that they were not the nice kind. It has been so long since I have felt fine. That's the reason that I gotta get out of here. I'm so alone. Don't you know that I gotta get out of here, 'cause New York's not my home. Not my home.
It's the Real BS Show, anyways.
We're real and not full of BS sometimes.
Yeah. I think everybody's got a little BS in them.
Yeah, of course. Not always. We just sometimes we do, you know. You know, sometimes this weather just kind of wears you out, you know. You just get wore out. And
especially in March when you've been dealing with it for 3 months.
I just been making not as big fires, and that's been helping, because if it gets too hot in the house, then I want to fall asleep. But I've been splitting the wood a little bit to make smaller fires, and that's been helping a lot. But it's been a rough winter. I mean, you go from 65 degrees in one day and then down to 13 the next, or whatever it was, 11 or 13.
Yeah.
I'm sitting thinking, oh, man. But, you know, the warm weather's coming, you know.
I woke up this morning and I don't know what I did last night, but I fell asleep early. And
yeah.
I woke up this morning, it was 58 degrees in my house.
Oh, wow.
But it was only 32 outside,
yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm glad it wasn't, you know, 12.
That's what I notice is usually, even though during the wintertime, it's been 55 or 60 in the house. And so when I wake up, I'm just making a fire, getting it going. But when it gets over like 85 in the house, that's when it starts getting... It's really hard to stay awake. Yeah. It feels like a big blanket.
Well, you got to open a window sometimes.
Yeah.
Then you fall asleep and the window's open.
Yeah, I've done that before. There was one night where I forgot that the temperature was going to drop, and it went from like, warmer to like 30 or something like that. And I had the window open and I was woke up and I could see my breath. And I was like, oh. Yeah. Like, oops, I made a boo boo.
Yeah. Gotta make them wood stoves a little more automatic or something.
Yeah, they make blowers and stuff nowadays for them and all that jazz. It makes it fancy. I just have one of those little fans that costs like $10 that's a magnetic or something like that. Makes the fan go when the heat comes on.
Oh, yeah.
I have one of those or two of those. They're really nice. So we get the Mafia. And you were talking
about the mafia.
The mafia. Because you were talking earlier about some people that were from Erie that have ties to the mafia. And I thought it was fascinating. You had the one guy that was went undercover for the mafia.
Yeah, I didn't know he was from Erie, though. I mean, they just it popped up there someplace. And, what was his name? Brasco.
Yeah, that was his undercover name,
Joe Pistone.
Yeah,
he was... I think he's still alive. I'm not sure.
Yeah, he's definitely he's alive, and he's not living in Erie. He's living in an undisclosed location. He was born in Erie in 1939, and what was good about him is he had mafia connections, but he ended up volunteering to infiltrate certain crime families, and so he was really good at it. And yeah, the thing is, you go back to Hoover. Hoover did not want his agents going undercover because he was worried about them becoming corrupt. So when he died...
he didn't think there was a mafia.
Yeah.
For the longest time,
But the thing is Hoover, he hired, agents that looked like accountants. They weren't even, what they are today, like a police force. They were more investigating. And so when Hoover died, everything in the FBI changed. And I think that's where you get people like Pistone that, went undercover as, what's his name again? What was his undercover name?
Brasco?
Brasco, yeah. This is where, when Hoover died, this is where you get people like Brasco and coming in and going undercover. But, Hoover was right there. Sometimes they will get corrupt, but sometimes you have to go undercover. But didn't he bust a bunch of families and stuff like that?
Well, he went undercover and he became a member of one of them. I can't remember which
in
one. One of the big five.
Yeah, Bonanno crime family.
Bonanno.
Yeah, and it was because he was really good at Italian and he had Sicilian heritage and he knew the mafia. I don't know. He knew the lingo, And, you look at there's mafia groups of every city. You had Italian, Irish, German, Jewish mafia. It wasn't just, it was like your neighborhood protection group. They protect your neighborhood. Like in Italy, in Erie, they still have Little Italy, but there's not many Italians left there.
It's all black people now.
Yeah. It's all changed. It is like Little Poland. That used to be on the east side of Erie. That's gone. Yeah. No longer Polish people there. Maybe some older people that stayed, but. Really, it's just a changed environment completely. You don't have those little communities anymore, that people would have to protect.
Who was that guy from Erie that went, did most of his work in Cleveland? But he was good at blowing things up.
Oh, Green.
No, that was the guy he blew up. Ray Ferrito.
Ray
Ferrito. I remember that. He had something to do with the record bar. He was really into the record bar. Lee Taylor he owned a record bar.
Right. Oh, yeah, he's from Erie, Pennsylvania. Yeah,
and he went over there and blew up that Green, some big shot.
He died in 2004. He's from born in 1929 during the Great Depression. He was five children. Yeah, this is crazy. I didn't know that he was from Erie. Yeah, he was in, he ran away from a home and burglarized a filling station in Ashtabula. Huh. So he kind of started young. He was very young at that time when he started doing that. He was 13 years old. That's when he started. Jeez, what a rough life. But yeah, you're right. He killed Green when Green was at the dentist office, and they had a bombometer on the side door and blew up his car.
Yeah, right. That's how it was. He came out and boom.
And that's a lot of dental work that needs to be done when that happens.
There goes. He just paid the dentist for all that fancy dental work, and boom, blew it up.
Yeah,
all for nothing.
Yeah. he was 75 when he died. Kill the Irishman. That was the movie, if you want to see about that. That's interesting. Val Kilmer was in that. That's Wow, he was sent to prison again for criminal conspiracy and bookmaking charges in 92. Jeez, that's a long time ago. He served prison multiple times. Probably was in prison more than being free.
Well, the reason I remember is because he hung out at the record bar. Mm. Lee Taylor's, he sold records, you know, and back then it was a big deal, you know, everybody right. was buying records. But
right.
Ray Fiorito was hanging around there a lot.
So it was a bar that you could drink at and listen to records or buy records?
Record bar? Oh, no, it wasn't. There was no bar to it. Oh, okay. It was just a store.
See, that's before my time. That's what I'm asking.
Yeah, you just walked in and looked through the records and bought them, you know. It was downtown on State Street, and then Lee bought a place out on the West Erie Plaza and eventually moved out there and
right.
kept everything out there.
Huh. Yeah, it's a...
But records are like everything else, you know, they had their heyday and then they disappeared.
Right, yeah, I mean, it's kind of like...
CDs and
yeah, CDs, all that stuff. Now that's all gone, too. Like, some people are trying to go back to them, but honestly, you don't see that too often. You don't see people going back too much to media. They're all streaming nowadays.
Yeah.
I mean, you can pick your music that way. You can find new music that way, too.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? Like back then, you'd have to buy the record to hear, you know, maybe hear what's on there, maybe find one good song, and that's it. Now, it's all online. You can listen to whatever you want, you know.
Yeah.
It's a crazy world. It really is. But no, that's another thing, too. Yeah, I remember going, when I was younger and buying tapes and CDs, you'd go to the store and actually pick up the physical media. And there's still a few places like that. But they're becoming rare. Like, in the mall, there used to be a tape and CD store when you walked in the first, like, the main entrance. And that place now downsized how many CDs they're selling down to, like, maybe two rows. It used to be filled. The whole store space was filled with CDs. And now they're selling other things besides CDs. And to me, that's fascinating because, you know, I remember that place. It was, that's where you went and buy CDs.
Kind of like Blockbuster and a few other things.
Yeah. Did you know Netflix tried to sell to their business to Blockbuster, and Blockbuster denied it, didn't want it? Imagine that. The thing that took them out, they could have bought.
Netflix is going to start broadcasting baseball games.
Yeah.
They're into sports.
You know how you used to have to pay for pay-per-view to watch, like, boxing matches or wrestling, like, you know, anything pay-per-view? Yeah. Netflix is now doing it for free. Oh, well, not for free. You have to pay for, you know, Netflix. But that's totally different. I remember back when I was younger, it used to be like $100 by pay-per-view or something like that. And now... it's on Netflix. You just pay the monthly for it. That's crazy. But there's going to be a boxing match at the White House?
No.
Yeah. Yeah, let me look it up real quick here. Most people don't know this. I think it's a boxing match at White House. It might be not boxing. Freedom 250. Oh, it's UFC, I'm sorry. Not boxing, it's UFC.
What's UFC?
Mixed martial arts, like, you know. Yeah, it's an upcoming event on June 14th, 2026. It'll be on the South Lawn at the White House.
Jeez.
Yeah. That's kind of, it's interesting, you know. Yeah, so most people don't even have no clue that's going on, you know. Oh, that's a small poster. Yeah, it's the match there. So, anywho, you get to watch someone break an arm, you know.
Jeez. I don't know. I give up on boxing. I give up on everything. I don't watch anything.
I still watch boxing. I watch UFC some. Boxing's interesting. There's some good guys out there.
You get a lot of commercials?
No, not too much.
Really?
No. So, for instance, the one guy is a boxer named Crawford. Undefeated, I believe. Very good boxer. And he's like, he is now retiring. Like, the perfect time. He's not staying longer and keeps on, you know, not keep on boxing. He's getting out when he needs to get out. He's getting too old for it.
Yeah, before he gets beat.
Yeah, and he's a good boxer. Just, you know, he's one of those ones that, you know, he didn't get his brain smashed enough. That he was like one of those intelligent boxers that just played the game right, you know. And he was a good sport, very nice guy. So I don't know. There's sometimes you watch some of them that are just stupid. It's like, you know, this is rigged. You know, you can tell they're just there for the money and they're coming out of retirement. You know, I don't know. You know, just goofy. But anywho,
we probably, well, let's play a few more tunes and
yeah.
Yeah, we got more Croce stuff.
Yeah, we got Photograph and Memories. I thought that was a fitting song, you know. We got some memories of the past, and I don't know. There's a lot of interesting things in Erie, you know, we can talk more about.
Photographs and memories, Christmas cards you sent to me, all that I have are these to remember you. Memories that come at night, take me to another time, back to a happier day when I called you mine. But we sure had a good time when we started way back when. Morning walks and bedroom talks, oh how I loved you then. Summer skies and lullabies, nights we couldn't say goodbye. And of all of the things that we knew, not a dream survived. Photographs and memories, all the love you gave to me, somehow it just can't be true, that's all I've left of you. But we sure had a good time when we started way back when. Morning walks and bedroom talks, oh how I loved you then. Stock car boy, eat too much to believe. You know he always got an extra pack of cigarettes rolled up in his t-shirt sleeve. He got a tattoo on his arm, I say baby. He got another one that just say hey. Whatever Sunday afternoon, he is a dirt track demon in a 57 Chevrolet. Oh, rapid roar, that stock car boy, he the best driver in the land. He say that he learned to race a stock car by running shine out of Alabama. Oh, the demolition derby and the figure eight is easy money on the bank compared to running from the man in Oklahoma City with a 500-gallon tank. Oh, rapid roar, that stock car boy, he too much to believe. You know he always got an extra pack of cigarettes rolled up in his t-shirt sleeve. He got a tattoo on his arm, I say, baby. Got another one that just say hey. And Sunday afternoon he is a dirt track demon in a 57 Chevrolet. Hey, Roy's so cool, that racing fool, he don't know what fear's about. He do 130 mile an hour, smiling at the camera with a toothpick in his mouth. He got a girl back home named Dixie Dawn, but he got honeys all along the way. And you ought to hit him screaming for the dirt track demon in a 57 Chevrolet. Oh, rapid roar, that stock car boy, he's too much to believe. You know he always got an extra pack of cigarettes, a roll up in his t-shirt sleeve. He got a tattoo on his arm, I say, baby. He got another one that just say, hey. But every Sunday afternoon, he is a dirt track demon in a 57 Chevrolet.
a real BS show. Yeah. And beautiful, beautiful March day.
Yeah, yeah. Compared to what it was.
Well, it's still ugly. It isn't warm out yet, and the snow is still everywhere, so.
Talking about warm, do you like pizza?
Pizza? Oh, yeah. That's a once-a-week thing anyways.
Well, that's a, you know, a situation. Talking about some history is, it wasn't that far ago. It doesn't feel that long ago, but it was a while ago. It was the Pizza Bomber case, you know. That was, you know, I forget the year. I always forget the year. 2003.
That far ago?
Yeah.
Wow.
I remember that happening. I just remember I was working or at home or something, and
That's the guy that got his head blown off.
Yeah,
right?
He
had a bomb around his neck.
Yeah, he didn't think it was probably real at the time until he realized it was real.
Oh, he heard it start ticking, and he got nervous.
Yeah. That's a tough one. I remember that happening. I remember Peach Street was completely blocked off, and there's people that were in the traffic that was blocked off and couldn't go anywhere. And then they showed it live on TV, his head getting blown off.
Yeah.
Oh, thing. they thought it was probably a scam, a fake one, but then when it went off, it's like, it didn't make any sense at the time. Ignoring all the stuff we know now, think about it. A guy walks into a bank and he has a bomb around his neck, and no one's going to think that's real. Like, what idiot would actually put a real bomb around his neck? And then to find out it goes off, and the news channels didn't know it went off live. And you can find videos, they're really grainy, but they're online, and no one knew, you know? It's just, that's mind-boggling.
What cracked me up is the state police are all surrounding him, you know, kind of far away behind their cars, with guns aimed at him. And he's all handcuffed and sitting in front of a car.
Yeah, and he keeps on saying, it's real, it's real.
I'm not kidding, he says, this is real.
Yeah.
And the bomb squad that was coming there, they couldn't get up there because of the
traffic jam. Yeah,
traffic jam.
Yeah,
they couldn't get through it.
That's rough.
So, and then when they doing an investigation or whatever to preserve the bomb, you know, the mechanism. They cut the guy's head off.
Yeah, because they didn't know if it still had other bomb on it. That's the thing.
Well, they
I heard
didn't
too.
Want to mess up the bomb. They wouldn't be able to figure out how it was made and everything like that. And,
yeah.
So they cut his head off.
Yeah. I mean, the family was pissed off about it.
Oh, boy, were they mad.
It's one of those situations where was Brian Wells involved or not? And some would say he's not. His family would say he was not. They was a victim completely and didn't know what was going on. And they just...
He might have been involved with the bank robbery, but he didn't think he was going
to... The thing is he... With cell phone records, they did show that he was there the 2 days before, a day before... meeting with Rothstein and Marjorie Joe. So they knew that he was involved. Why would he meet them before? You know, it's like, in my view, there's like there's a plausibility that he was involved, and that's just my opinion, you know.
Well, he knew about it, but he didn't know he was going to be him that would have the bomb wrapped around his head.
He thought it was fake. They told him it was fake. But there was a lot more people involved than what's publicized. I think there was a lot more involved because...
What was her name? Marjorie Deal Armstrong.
Yeah.
Oh, was she awful. Yeah. She was bad news.
Yeah.
And Bill Rothstein.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he was a substitute teacher for a lot of schools, and I vaguely remember him being substitute teacher a few times, and I don't remember much about him. I just remember he was just straight to the point and quiet, but... that's a weird thing to talk about because, like, you know, 2003, I was, that was, you know, a few years after graduating, so it was kind of fresh, you know. And then he died of cancer right after it.
Yeah.
And it's just, the whole thing's weird, you know, the bodies in the freezer and from the Marjorie's
boyfriend. That was crazy.
Then the one... the prostitute that told him, saying Brian Wells would be someone that you could use. And then there was a bunch of other guys that were involved that, you know, then another dude that worked at the pizza joint died, I think, the same day.
Yeah, the very next day. Yeah.
Brian
Wells or no?
Brian Wells worked with him. I can't remember his name. But he died of an overdose, yeah. So yeah, right. Just the whole thing is just all just a mangled mess.
I don't think the FBI ever really did figure out for definite, who built the bomb. And
From my understanding, they know that Rothstein did because they searched his house after he died and found more evidence that he did. And then she wanted $200,000 to pay someone to kill her father because she wanted money. And he wasn't leaving anything in inheritance to her. Oh, it was just a whole mess.
Yeah.
Just the whole thing is like a what?
He was giving it all away.
Yeah, because he didn't want to give any of her money at all. Yeah. So.
Yeah, that was a pretty, there was a movie made by some guy.
He made a nice documentary. It's on Netflix. It's called Evil Genius. It's one of those, not just because we're
very well done.
Very well done. Probably the best one I could say that guy should be making more documentaries. He did a very high level 4-part series on it, and everything he did was just perfect on how you do a documentary, in my opinion. I don't know.
He had to do all the investigating himself. He had to investigate the police.
Yeah. FBI and how they didn't want to work with each other, and they were, not very connected. In a lot of ways, now they're more connected now than ever. But, he would sit across in the car dealership and try to talk to Bill Rothstein, and Bill Rothstein wanted nothing to do with him. So,
yeah, well, let's play some, Jim Croce songs?
Yeah, I got two more, and then we'll go into another guy.
John Denver.
Yeah, he died in a plane crash,
I worked with him. I got to know him. Well, I spent a day with him up in Chautauqua.
Yeah, we can talk more.
He was very, very interesting and fun person. I mean, really, just a nice guy. Really.
Yeah.
His manager and all them people, they were ugly, but
he
was wonderful.
There's something really odd about these two. Without me knowing, I just realized that both of them died in plane crashes.
Yeah.
So
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, to me, it's like, wait a second here. I didn't pick this on purpose. It's not like we're trying to purposely, put together a storyline or anything. But holy cow, they both died in plane crashes.
Well, John built, he kind of built his own airplane, his little experimental thing.
Yeah.
He ran out of. He had a way of switching gas tanks, but you had to turn around.
Yeah.
To do it, and while he was doing that, the plane crashed.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, what a way to go.
So poor old John killed himself pretty much.
Chill dude, very chill.
Yeah.
Never heard too much about him.
Just a pleasant person to talk to, and
yeah.
He talked to you like he was one of your school buddies from the school or something. He just. Always smiling and just happy-go-lucky, and his manager was just a nut job.
Yeah.
Total.
Well, maybe that's why he was so chill, because his manager was on top of things.
Well, he wouldn't take any snot from the manager, let me tell you.
Yeah.
He'd shut him up right away.
Yeah.
But he was super guy, super guy.
I do think
talented too.
Yeah, if you were an artist that was famous, you definitely would want a good manager, and maybe need someone that's a little. You need someone that's tough to make sure you're not getting screwed, because you know the industry. You were in it. It's a screwy business. You're dealing with record companies and they're wolves. You know.
Yeah, still, your manager doesn't have to be an idiot.
I agree.
Just a downright total idiot.
Yeah.
Nasty person.
Oh yeah, I agree.
You don't have to be like that.
No, I agree. I do think that I'm saying there's a balance to it, You do have to have a manager. It's kind of tough because that way the artist doesn't have to worry about that stuff. Because nowadays people are getting screwed still to this day with record companies,
Oh, I'm sure.
It's just crazy thinking about what purpose do record companies
get? It's all lawyers and crap.
It's the truth. It's all lawyers,
So I wish they get AI going so they could eliminate these lawyers.
Yeah.
Get rid of them.
You ever read like law bills or any court rulings, how they word things?
No, forget it.
It's not even English almost. It's all a bunch of French words because, they don't want the U.S. citizens to actually know what is being said, so they use their own slang. I'm being sarcastic here, lawyers, if you hear me. I'm just making a point that maybe if we used common lingo, then we wouldn't have such problems in this country. But regardless, if AI did it, actually AI is good in that regard. It's good at English literature. Very good at that. But other things, not so much. But that's a different topic.
We get AI doctors.
They already have that. they? Yeah, they use, well, it's not really AI. They're detecting cancers and stuff, and, like, they'll have, you know how doctors look at photos of x-rays and MRIs and things like that? They're using computer machine learning is the term I want to use, not AI. Machine learning to pick up where cancers or something's wrong. And usually they're good at that, too. But doctors are still needed to review it. So they're not doing, like, auto-detecting you have cancer, you're going to shove you off to the furnace or something. But, you know, for cremation, that's not being done yet, but maybe we'll get there.
Yeah.
Brave New World, Bill.
I know. Well, I'm not going to be around that much longer anyway.
I don't know. I think you might have another 20 years on you.
I don't know.
My dad's cousin's 90, going to be 91, and he's a fascinating time capsule to talk to. You know, he's born in 1935, and man, he's seen some things. You know, went through the Great Depression, and to me, I like hearing that because, you know, and he's lonely. He's by himself. His wife passed away. You know, no offense to his son, but his son lives in New York City, so he's pretty far away. You know, he can talk to his son on the phone, but still, he doesn't see his son. So it's like when I talk to him, it's like, holy cow, this guy's got a whole almost 100 years of history and seeing changes that you can't explain. It'd be sound like science fiction if you went back to time and told people this is what's going to be. I don't know.
Yeah.
We're living in fascinating times.
All right, well, let's hear Jim Croce.
Yeah,
Croce.
If I could save time in a bottle, the first thing that I'd like to do is to save every day till eternity passes away, just to spend them with you. If I could make days last forever, if words could make wishes come true, I'd save every day like a treasure, and then again I would spend them with you. But there never seems to be enough time to do the things you want to do once you find them. I've looked around enough to know you're the one I want to go through time with. If I had a box just for wishes and dreams that had never come true, the box would be empty except for the memory of how they were answered by you. But there never seems to be enough time to do the things you want to do once you find them. I've looked around enough to know that you're the one I want to go through time. Fenders with a rag and walking home in soggy old shoes. We're damn working at the car wash booth. You know a man of my ability, he should be smoking on a big cigar. But till I get myself straight, I guess I'll just have to wait in my rubber suit to rub on these cars. Well, all I can do is to shake my head. You might not believe it is true, but working at this end on Niagara Falls is an undiscovered Howard Hughes. So baby, don't expect to see me with no double martini and in my highbrow society news, 'cause I got them steadily depressing, low down mind messing, working at the car wash booth. Double martini and in my highbrow society news, 'cause I got them steadily depressing, low down mind messing, working at the car wash booth. Yeah, I got them steadily depressing, low down mind messing, working at the car wash booth.
It's a real BS show on a beautiful, and the sun's coming out.
Yeah.
Nice. It's warming up. All the icicles are falling off the buildings.
Very nice. Nice sun. Nice feel. Feels good. It feels like we're getting closer and closer to spring. I know that's.
I hope so.
You know, we're. You know, the tomorrow technically is the first day of spring.
Tomorrow,
the 20th. Yeah. I'm gonna double check that to make sure. You know, because this is a. You know, big deal for me. Like, you know, we're officially in spring. Yeah, March 12th. Or 20th, I mean. March 20th at 10:46 a.m. is technically spring.
Oh, boy. Yeah,
that means you can celebrate, Bill.
I don't know how, but...
You never know. You know, we're due for it, that's for sure. You know?
Yeah, it'll probably snow one more time.
Yeah, probably. We did get our St. Patrick's snow day. That's for sure. We did get that.
Oh, man. Got buried out there.
Yeah. Ooh. I heard you guys had electricity out for a bit.
Yeah, the whole neighborhood was without electricity for almost 2 days.
Yeah, it was like, you say 2,000 people, you said?
Well, that's what the REC said. Yeah. Said, well, we don't know when it's coming back on because we've got over 2,000 customers.
Yeah, that day, I remember it was something like, you know, Union City was out and Union Township and basically all around Union City was out. And so I was just about to cook when electricity went out. And I was like, shoot, I can't cook now. So I was about debating whether just to go downtown and get something, you know, to eat. And McDonald's was out. Country Fair was out. You know, they couldn't do any pay. You know, you couldn't pay with your card. But Pizza Hut worked. So we got Pizza Hut that day.
Huh, they're still in business.
Huh? Yeah, yeah. No, wow. For when electricity goes out, yeah.
They closed down in Titusville.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Big place, too.
Huh.
Gone.
Yeah. Well, I don't usually prefer Pizza Hut. I prefer, like, you know, Little Caesars. You know, it's a quick and easy. But now we had to eat something. I didn't eat all day. I only eat one meal a day. So that was my one meal. And I was like, I need to eat. I was very hungry. But no, you knew John Denver. You met him, right?
John Denver, yeah. I worked with him a day. He was a fun guy. He was just one of the guys, you know. He was really, just really average, easy to get along with.
Right.
Always smiling and
right.
Happy guy.
Positive, yeah.
Yeah. His manager was an idiot, total nasty dude.
Right.
But,
yeah, it's Jerry Weintraub. Is that him there?
Kind of, I don't know. I can't remember. He was. I mean, he didn't say too much around John Denver.
Yeah.
You know, but as soon as John was out of the way, boom.
Yeah.
He was like some kind of boss or something. I don't know.
Huh. What you like? That was so. It had to have been this guy then. Yeah, Jerry Weintraub. Yeah, yeah, it seems like it was. He died in 2015. He was 77 years old.
Oh.
Originally from Brooklyn.
Yeah, everybody's dying.
What yeah, wow, heck? That was, you know. But yeah, that's interesting. He managed quite a few people, you know.
He wasn't a very pleasant person. I can tell you that firsthand.
Whew. Right.
But John Denver, he was just a happy-go-lucky.
Right.
Always smiling, just easy to be around.
Right.
But good, too. I mean, he's a good singer.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah, he was one of those rare talents that, you know, you can put on his music and let's say you don't enjoy folk or country, but John Denver has some songs that really just kind of put you at ease, you know. They're, to me, like, they're summertime songs, you know. They're nice, easily listening songs to listen to. So, yeah. He had some ones that I don't think most people even know that he did, and that's why I kind of like some of these, you know, they're kind of, you know, famous. You know, people would know who he is, but if you're not a John Denver fan, I think some of these are some of his good songs that he made. But we'll play a few and then come back.
Sounds like a good idea.
You fill up my senses like a night in a forest, like the mountains in springtime, like a walk in the rain, like a storm in the desert, like a sleepy blue ocean. You fill up my senses, come fill me again. Come let me love you, let me give my life to you, let me drown in your laughter, let me die in your beside you, let me always be with you. Come, let me love you. Come, love me. Like the mountains in springtime, like a walk in the rain, like a storm in the desert, like a sleepy blue ocean. You fill up my senses, come fill me.
Just to look in your eyes again, just to lay in your arms, just to be the first one always there for you, just to live in your laughter, just to sing in your heart, just to be every one of your dreams come true. Just to sit by your window, just to touch in the night, just to offer a prayer each day for you, just to long for your kisses, just to dream of your sighs, just to know that I'd give my life for you. For you, all the rest of my life. For you, all the best of my life. For you alone, only for you. Just to wake up each morning, just to you by my side, just to know that you're never really far away, just a reason for living, just to say I adore, just to know that you're here in my heart to stay. The best of my life, for you alone, only for you. Just the words of a love song, just the beat of my heart, just the pledge of my life, my love for you.
I wish I could sing like him. I really do.
Oh, boy. What a nice voice, huh?
You know, that's the thing, is it doesn't stick to just one format, you know? You hear some of his songs and they sound so different compared to everything he does. To me, that's where it gets interesting. You know, I like that last one. That's one of my favorites of his.
He kind of went from the West Virginia to the Rocky Mountains.
Yeah.
Hi. Ended up on the West Coast.
Yeah. The other thing, too, about that plane is he constructed that plane. His plane. He made that. It was like one of those airplane kits that you...
experimental thing.
Yeah. You could buy these kits back then. I still think you can do it, where you build your own airplane. And yeah, like you said, it had two tanks and he was trying to switch it. I think in the newer models, they have a switch in the cockpit. I think you'd think they would just, you know...
He had to turn around and he wasn't looking and he had to try to switch from one tank to the other. And
yeah.
Boom, down it went.
Well, you think about it, you can easily hit the stick and you're going down. You know, you bump it the wrong way.
Well, he's pretty close to the ground anyway.
So oh, really? I didn't know that part. Oh, that's the way to go, you know? Yeah, I don't know. You know... And it's like, makes you wonder. Oh, yeah, his name was Deutschendorf. That's his original name. Deutschendorf. I can understand why he went with John Denver. Deutschendorf doesn't inspire you much, probably. Yeah. That's a tough name for most Americans. Yeah, like I said, you know, I'm looking here to see. Yeah, he was flying a home-built aircraft, a Rutan Long EZ, and he crashed in Monterey Bay. My uncle and aunt have a house in Monterey, and that was back in '97. I thought it was a lot sooner. So that was near their home. He was doing it while making a series of touch and go landings. So maybe he's practicing or something? I don't know.
I just remember he's low to the ground when it happened.
Yeah, he had over 2,700 hours of flight experience. So he had land and sea, multi-engine landing glider and instrument ratings. So he knew how to do all those. He also had, he could fly a Learjet. He owned a Learjet too. Yeah. He'd taken a half hour checkout flight with the aircraft the day before the crash. Oh, wow. So here's the one I didn't know. He was not legally permitted to fly at the time of the crash because of his previous arrest for driving under the influence of alcohol.
Yeah, he was having some marital problems or something. Yeah. I can't remember. But it's weird to think that he'd be arguing with anybody. I mean,
right.
But it is what it is, I guess.
That's crazy. Yeah. That's a rough way to go, I guess, you know.
So he was doing what he liked to do, that's for sure.
Oh, sure. I mean, I can get the concept of wanting to be free, you know. Yeah. There's something about that, you know. Being free to be able to fly.
So he's driving, flying with a suspended license.
yeah, basically. And this is the constructed airplane. That's pretty small. I don't know. That's a difficult one, you know. But yeah, he definitely lived the world, you know. He was born in New Mexico. That's another thing I didn't know. In 1943, you know.
Wow, I didn't know he was that old.
Yeah. He was 53 when he died.
Huh.
Yeah.
I think I met him in the 90s or something.
Yeah.
It must have been in the 90s.
Right. Right, probably before he died. Yeah.
Well, yeah, he was alive when I met him.
Yeah. He wasn't dead. Yeah. Yeah.
But he's a good performer. Just a well-liked everybody. Just, right. You know, it was a packed house. It's up at Chautauqua.
Right.
Cram 7,000 people in there.
Right. That's an interesting place there, Chautauqua. Long history there.
Yeah, it's a weird history, though. I mean, a bunch of rich people, it's just better than everybody else.
We also sometimes had to cover that place. That's a different.
I spent three or four summers up there,
right.
Day after day.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's
a lot of work.
Well, yeah. I think we'll have to do a show on that one. Sometimes Chautauqua, you know, there's a whole thing about the Chautauqua Institute and other things there.
Well, they got a history, long history.
Yeah. That's a whole thing there. It's almost like a mob level.
I met Bill Clinton. I met up there.
Yeah,
he was chasing Judy Collins around. they had to separate him. They had to get him out of there.
Yeah. The other thing too is there's a lot of religious movements that, if you think the ones we have today, all the preachers that we have today are wacky, you need to just go back to the Great Awakening. All the religious movements in Western New York, in Northwest Pennsylvania that were going on, Mormonism came out of the Great Awakening time, you know, so the second Great
Jehovah
Awakening.
Jehovah Witnesses. Pittsburgh bound or born or whatever.
Yeah. It's all during a crazy, wacky time in world history. And I could go on, and that's where I study my history, is a lot of weird things like that. Not just, you know, religious stuff, but I study weird history stuff, and I love it. There's some wacky stuff that humans do that will blow your mind, you know. But maybe we should do some more John Denver, you know.
Yeah, give it a shot.
Because, you know, it's that kind of day. It's kind of been a, you know, you got some poems, prayers, and, you know, we need some more of that in life, you know, poems, prayers, and promises.
I've been lately thinking about my life's time, all the things I've done, how it's been. And I can't help believing in my own mind. I know I'm gonna hate to see it end. Seen a lot of sunshine. I slept out in the rain. Spent a night or two all on my own. And I've known my lady's pleasures, had myself some friends. Spent a time or two in my own home. And I have to say it now, it's been a good life all in all. It's really fine to have a chance to hang around and lie there by the fire and watch the evening tire while all my friends and my old lady sit and pass the pipe around. Talk of poems and prayers and promises, things that we believe in. How sweet it is to love someone, how right it is to care. How long it's been since yesterday, what about tomorrow? What about our dreams and all the memories we share? Days they pass so quickly now, nights so seldom long. And time around me whispers when it's cold. The changes somehow frighten me, still I have to smile. It turns me on to think of growing old. Though my life's been good to me, there's still so much to do. So many things my mind has never known. I'd like to raise a family, like to sail away, dance across the mountains on the I have to say it now, it's been a good life all in all. It's really fine to have a chance to hang around and lie there by the fire and watch the evening tire while all my friends and my old lady sit and pass a pipe around. Talk of poems and prayers and promises, things that we believe in. How sweet it is to love someone, how right it is to care. How long it's been since yesterday, what about tomorrow? What about our dreams and all the memories we share?
West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River. Life is old there, older than the trees, younger than the mountains, growing like a breeze. Country roads, take me home to the place. To blue water,
dusty, painted on the sky, misty taste of moonshine, teardrop in my eye, country roads, take me home to the place.
This old guitar taught me to sing a love song. It showed me how to laugh and how to cry. It introduced me to some friends of mine and brightened up some days. It helped me make it through some lonely nights. Whoa, what a friend to have on a cold and lonely night. This old guitar gave me my lovely lady. It opened up her eyes and ears to me. It brought us close together, broke her heart. It opened up the space for us to be. What a lovely place, a lovely space to be. This old guitar gave me my life, my living, all the things you know I love to do. The serenade, the stars that shine from a sunny mountainside, and most of all to sing my songs for you. And I love to sing my songs for you. Yes, I do, you know. I love to sing my songs for you. Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
I really like that song. There's something nice about this old guitar. I don't know. His guitar playing was just clean and unique. And he was born in New Mexico. That's another thing, too, I didn't know. Just, I'm still shocked by that. I'm like, wait a second, he was born in New Mexico, you know? I don't know.
Well, he didn't have much to do with that.
No.
That was an accident.
Yeah, well, that happens.
That's how he died, too.
Yeah, accident. Yeah. He was born in Roswell. How about that? You know, that's a weird thing, right? Oh. Roswell, New Mexico. From his father was a captain in the Army Air Force.
Well, there you go.
He was a decorated pilot, seen, set a number of airspeed records in 1961. That's weird. That's the thing. Who knew that his father was a pilot? And then that's John Denver, you know, died in a plane, you know? I don't know. That's a weird thing. But, yeah, that's we're coming down to the...
we just got one to go here.
Yeah, it's a kind of like, you know, it's a goodbye until next time. You know, we're not going to pull Lawrence Welk on you and, you know, do some champagne music and tell you goodbye. But
well, yeah, I guess it's a good time to say goodbye to everybody. Yeah. And we'll see you all next week, hopefully.
Yeah, yeah. It should be nicer weather. I mean, it's over. It's like we've been going for about, you know.
Boy, I sure hope so. Boy.
We've been going for like an hour and 16 minutes, so I thought maybe people are tired of us, you know, they need a nap or something.
Oh, I'm sure that happens.
Yeah. All right, have a good one.
See ya.
It's 5 o'clock this morning and the sun is on the rise. There's frosting on the window pane and sorrow in your eyes. The stars are fading quietly, night is nearly gone. So you turn away from me, and tears begin to come, and it's goodbye again. I'm sorry to be leaving you. Goodbye again. As if you didn't know. Tell me, why do we always fight when I have to go? It seems a shame to leave you now, your lace is soft and warm. I long to lay me down again and hold you in my arms. I long to kiss the tears away and give you back. Other voices beckon me, and for a little while it's goodbye again. I'm sorry to be leaving you. Goodbye again. As if you didn't know. Inside of me, not hard to understand. It's anyone who listened to me sing. If your hours are empty now, who am I to blame? You think if I were always here, our love would be the same. As it is, the time we have is worth the time alone. Lying by your side, the greatest peace I've ever known. But it's goodbye again, and I'm sorry to be leaving you. Goodbye again, as if you didn't know.